Part 2. The next day, the tension in both communities worsened. It was as if a potion for becoming ornery had been put in every adult's morning mow. In Floopsville, Toog saw two gals rudely bump each other as they reached for the same topa hanging from a tree. In Flangville, Nim saw two grouchy fellows jam each other while rushing through a doorway. In each community, uptight parents were finding fault with their kids, bickering friends were throwing lums at walls, and grumpy workers were stomping off their jobs. The worst of the dire day occurred after supper. In Flangville, two gals, peddling rels, approached the same parking space outside a depot. After a moment of hesitation, during which neither backed up, each tried to snatch the space, causing them to collide. In a flash, the drivers were standing toe to toe. One hollered Flang, and the other, surprisingly, shouted Floops, as a pushing match soon put both on the ground. Around the same time in Floopsville, two fellows raced to an intersection from different directions. Then, when both tried to be first to turn onto the same road, they crashed. A few seconds later, they too rashly got off their rels ready to wrangle. One reller screeched Floops, and the other surprisingly yelled Flang as jabs by both toppled them onto their fannies. Though both relling tussles were more hurtful than the great flub-up, neither brought about a flubbit. Instead, those involved in the scuffles held a long glare, then rushed off to cast blame. To everyone's surprise in Flangville, a flankster had said Floops. And to everyone's surprise in Floopsville, a floopster had said Flang. By nightfall, an emergency meeting was underway in both communities. In Flangville, Meade was first to speak. "The problem is clear to me," she began as everyone stood still to listen. "Some among us aren't true flanksters. They're in-betweeners, half flankster and half floopster. That they're still saying Floops proves they're wishy-washy." A trembling father spoke next. "Given all the arguing we've been all doing, there must be more than a few in-betweeners," he noted. "I'd say about half of us," answered Meeb. A troubled mother, who was among those who had sometimes thought being a floopster wouldn't be so bad, spoke up. "So, what do we do?" she asked. "We must again divide. Flangville must be split in two with a tall fence," declared Meeb. When Meeb mentioned the need for another separation, the children, who were huddled in small groups nearby, sighed in unison. "Not again," they all thought, as some thumped hands on heads. Nam was too upset to remain silent. "Why are we again doing what hasn't worked?" she questioned. "Who said that?" bellowed Meeb, ready to confront anyone who dare challenge her. I did, politely answered Nam as she stepped forward. We need to get Wuz. He'll know what to do. Meeb moved within a few inches of Nam, then looked down at the youngster. We can't allow ourselves to be swayed by a child who holds on to a fondness for the elder who still touts the old wise saying. To ensure our safety, we must separate once more. The in-betweeners must have their own wise saying, she insisted. Meeb's right, jumped in a frazzled elder. There's a lack of loyalty in Flangville. Fickle fence riders who won't commit to being a flangster are making it impossible for us to get along. Sure she had support, Meeb repeated her stance. The in-betweeners must be given their own community, one fenced off from Flangville. Otherwise, despair awaits us. No one disagreed. The same solution was hastily being discussed in Floopsville. Standing in the middle of the restless crowd, Vare took charge. We now know for sure there are whole-hearted Floopsters and half-hearted Floopsters. Those wavering are different in a way we can no longer pretend doesn't matter. It is with regret that I say what you all already know. We must again divide. A high fence and a new wise saying are needed. Like Nam, Toog found the courage to object. After limping past several adults, he gulped, buried hands in pockets, and timidly said what Vare didn't want to hear. Wuz can help. I'll row out and get him, he offered. We don't have time for notions we've already decided are useless, scolded Vare, refusing to face Toog. Toog stammered a reply. Kids don't understand why the grown-ups are having trouble getting along. But we do know that things got worse soon after Flubsters became Floopsters and Flangsters, he pointed out. We can't expect the children to understand that those with a flankster leaning must be given their own community, lectured Vare. Vare's right. We must divide Floopsville, howled a mother. As in Flangville, no Floopster adult objected to yet another separation. That night, while Flangster grown-ups were still deciding who was an in-betweener, Nam scooted to a dock far from the adults. Once there, she hopped into a Gep and rode to the Gep house undetected. It's me, she soon called while tying her Gep next to Toog's. Welcome, greeted Wuz as he pulled back his canvas door. Two just told me a couple of gals got plunked onto their bottoms in Floopsville. Things are so bad there, the adults are going to separate once more. How are things in Flangville? No different, informed Nam as she entered the tent and returned Toog's happy-to-see-you smile. They're also talking about dividing Flangville, she relayed as she, too, knelt by Wuz's bowl candle. Wuz shook his head in discouragement. It seems getting the grown-ups to wander Flub Ocean in search of Bowfill would be easier than getting them to sea. Separating again will just make things worse. As all three stared at the candle's shimmering flame, Niamh suddenly sprang off her heels. "That's the answer!" "What is?" asked Toog. "Finding helpful Bowfsters is the answer. You and I, and maybe a few other kids, will be Wuz's crew," she answered. "That's a flummel idea," perked up Toog. No one has ever sailed farther than a flubster can swim, Wuz reminded them. "The Bowfsters will know how to help the grown-ups," coaxed Niamh, without concern for how dangerous the voyage might be. "We aren't sure Bowfill even exists," countered Wuz. "But what if it does exist?" asked Niamh. "The Flankster grown-ups are staying up to figure out where to put their fence. That means they'll be getting up late. We can leave in the morning without them knowing," she planned. "The Flubsville grown-ups will also be flablooning through most of the morning," noted Toog. "We can help you look in all directions, Wuz," explained Niamh. "The adults no longer flub it the way you taught, Wuz. Sometimes they don't even try to flub it," pointed out Toog, hoping to sway the elder. Saddened by what he just heard, Wuz sat silent. Watching Wuz drag palms down his face, Niamh tried harder to convince him. "The kids are becoming more and more frightened," she relayed. "I'll sail north in search of Bowfill tomorrow morning," said Wuz as he rose, stuck his head outside, then looked up at the sky. "Flubby's moving downward. Time for you two to head back."
"You're taking us with you, right?" replied Niamh as she and Toog started for their gaps.
"It's too risky," Wuz told them.
"But we can watch for Bowfill where you rest," pleaded Niamh.
"I'll drop anchor when I sleep," answered Wuz as he held open the tent's canvas door. Wuz sailed from the Flubbling River not long after waking the next day. Thanks to a strong current, he soon watched Flubville flatten on the horizon behind him. "I might never see land again," he thought, after turning to face open ocean. Only a half hour later, after locking the rudder and standing to stretch, Wuz was surprised to see two curious humps 50 or so yards away. Could Bowfill have always been so close? He wondered as the suspicious objects grew larger. Otts floating on their backs. "That's all I'm seeing," he told himself. Soon, Wuz saw something he definitely didn't want to see. What he thought to be Otts was, in fact, two geps. Niamh and Toog were in the gep to his right. Pun, Daub, and Seer were in the gep to his left. Quickly slowing the gep house by letting the sails sag, Wuz tossed his anchor overboard and waited for one of the children to do some explaining. "Just say what you plan to say," thought Niamh before speaking.
Things are too scary for us in Flangville and Floopsville. Please, please let us help you find Bowfill. We each have plenty of Bohi, Topa, and Mo, she told Wuz while raising a sack. I'm taking you all back, Wuz quickly replied. A brass seer stood and spoke. Searching for Bowfill without you isn't what we want, but we'll feel we have to. Uneasy with the willful way Seer talked to Wuz, Nam and Toog held a long flubbit. While staring into the vast ocean, Wuz decided the only way to get the children home safely was to search with them for a few hours, just long enough for them to get homesick. Okay, we'll search together, but only if everyone agrees to go back when I think it's best to do so, he offered. That sounds fair. After all, Wuz knows best, Toog made known, sure haggling with the elder would be disrespectful. Thank you, Wuz, said Nam. Tie your geps to the sides of the gep house and come on aboard, instructed Wuz. Right away, answered Dob, joggled into his seat when Pun began rowing to the gep house while he was still standing. Not long after the children joined Wuz, Nam and Toog, who were sitting by the mast, saw a darkness swiftly spreading across the horizon. I think we better tell Wuz there's something up ahead. It could be Bowfill, said Nam. Also excited by the ballooning blob, Toog hurried toward the rudder. We see something up ahead, Wuz. Wuz, who was kneeling, threw a loop around the rudder's handle to keep it straight, then propped himself upright with his cane. I've never seen a cloud billow so rapidly, he noted, suspecting they were running into the path of a fast-approaching, massive storm. Should we turn back? Asked Toog. We can't outrun it, answered Wuz as he hurried to the mast to lower the sail. With all eyes fixed on the invading monster cloud, the children flinched when a bright, jagged flash of lightning sliced through a soon-to-arrive widening wall of rain. Then the booming crack of thunder that followed caused everyone to shudder while ducking. Listen to me, loudly ordered Wuz. Because ocean storms can be frisky, I want each of you to quickly straddle one of the tent's poles. Someone will need to sit at the mast. Four children quickly moved to the corners of the tent, leaving Toog to plop down at the mast. Wrap your legs and arms around the pole or mast and hold on tightly, instructed Wuz. After doing as they were told, the children looked up and watched with heart-pounding awe as blue sky quickly shrunk from sight. To them, it looked as though a humongous fiend was devouring everything in its path. Soon, as swelling waves began rocking the gap house, raindrops pelted heads and a whirling wind slapped faces. We'll get through this, just hold tight, shouted Wuz as he hand-mopped his face, rammed his cane between two planks, then knelt by the rudder. Forced by the downpour to open eyes in spurts, All were clinging as tightly as cramping fingers would allow when an enormous wave tipped the Gephau sideways. Jarred hard when the Gephau soon slammed downward, the children's Geps and Wuz's anchor came loose. Then, when a gust of wind smacked the sail into Toog, he lost his grip. Careening backward, Toog tore through the Gephau's tent as he tumbled toward Wuz. Just as Wuz grabbed hold of Toog, another erupting giant wave struck. Though the Gephau didn't capsize, Wuz and Toog were hurled into the rampaging ocean. Separated from Toog by the jolt, Wuz twisted until spotting him. But just as Wuz tried to lurch toward Toog, the turbulence turned the elder toward the Gephau, causing him to get more bad news. The tent's poles had snapped, leaving Nam, Pun, Seer, and Daub to also be heaved overboard. Now, all six were bobbing and gasping, able to do little more than keep from swallowing water. Everyone could only hope for a miracle. Suddenly, each of the hapless voyagers felt something nudge her and his chest. "What ghastly creature lives out here?" wondered Wuz, while struggling to stay afloat. To everyone's surprise, Otts began poking their heads out of the water. In a flash, every member of the floundering crew had an Ott snuggled under an arm. As soon as the Otts felt a hand grab hold, they swam to the edge of the Gephau, where they gently snout-bumped their passengers onto the deck. Every time someone was thrown back into the ocean by the storm, an Ott was quick to again come to her or his rescue. "The Otts are saving us," thankfully cried out Nam, clutching the rudder's handle as she watched an Ott retrieve Seer. "Ott, Ott, Ott! Ott, Ott, Ott!" mimicked the Ott closest to her. "Ott's never sounded so flubble," exclaimed Pun, with arms wrapped around the mask. "Ott, Ott, 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 Ott! Ott, Ott, Ott!" said a nearby Ott. Eventually, the waves were no more than a foot high, allowing everyone to stay put on the deck. Spotting an older Ott propel above the water in order to lead its companion southward, Wuz wished he could have expressed his gratefulness. Soon, the rain stopped, the wind died down, and the ocean fell still. Done in by their ordeal, the kids stretched out on the deck, closed eyes, and were soon flablooning as patches of blue sky began appearing overhead. Wuz, however, stayed awake so that he could spot Flubby. Having no luck at first, he turned on a whim in time to catch the moon approach the horizon. "The current appears to have kept us on course," he told himself, as he looped the rudder in place, then lie down and shut eyes. The following morning, Wuz, who was the first to awaken, pried his cane from the deck boards, then trudged to the mast. Nam, who was next to rise, joined him. A few feet away, Daub frowned upon realizing they'd lost their sacks during the storm.
"I hope Buffville
has some good topa and bohi, he whined.
I just want a soft bed, fussed Pun as she sat up, then dropped elbows onto knees and chin into palms. Nam spoke with hands on hips.
Isn't finding bolsters who can tell us how to help the grown-ups get along what's important?
Wuz tried lifting everyone's spirits.
Why don't we take turns watching for land? Our outlook post will be alongside the mast, he suggested.
I'll go first, volunteered Pun.
I'll go next, offered Dob as he sat by the rudder with Pun and Seer.
Still sitting next to Wuz, Nam looked down.
I've been hoping a creator would guide us to Balfil, she shared.
Thank goodness for the aughts, said Wuz.
Could a creator have sent the aughts? Asked Nam.
Maybe, answered Wuz. There was something Nam wanted Wuz to know.
Toog and I left a note for the grown-ups, along with saying we went to get help from Balfsters. We said we didn't want to be flanksters or floopsters or anything else they think up. We told them that, like you, we'll always be flubsters.
Wuz smiled warmly.
Their second night on the ocean was especially dark. Only able to see fuzzy silhouettes of each other, most were gazing up at a glittering array of stars when Pun, who was on duty at the lookout, saw what seemed to be a radiant dome pop into sight.
Look east, everyone! It's Balfil! She shouted.
All eyes focused on the dazzling object.
I see it, said a thrilled Dob.
Hello, Zee, here we come, Zee Balfi, gleefully sang Pun.
A few seconds later, the distant glow was gone.
It'll come back,
assured Pun, as everyone except Wuz waited for it to return bigger and brighter.
Wuz tried to console the children. I believe we saw Flubby briefly poke above the horizon.
That's good news.
It means we're still on course, he informed them.
How soon will we find Balfil, Wuz?
Pressured Dob.
Toog stood up for Wuz.
Wuz can't know when a place no one has been to will appear.
Turning to face Wuz, Seer spoke boldly.
You should have turned us around when we first saw the storm cloud, Wuz, she complained.
I wish we had headed home then too, moaned Dob.
We can't help the grown-ups get their honor back if we flub-dub out here, fretted Pun.
Nam got upset.
Blaming Wuz isn't kind or fair. Losing our honor helps no one, she firmly stated.
They're discouraged and homesick, thought Wuz, before surprising the children.
We'll spot land tomorrow, he told them.
Are you sure? Questioned Pun.
We'll pretty sure do, Pun,
offered Wuz before facing the others.
Please, everyone, ponder the notion we sometimes get what we need in an unexpected way.
You mean like getting rescued by the aughts? Asked Nam.
Yes, answered Wuz.
while standing by the mast when daybreak arrived, was watch Flubby arc high over the horizon. Nam, who was next to wake up, join was. "Everybody's going to be hungry," she warned. "If the current stays steady, we should see land midday. Continuing to take turns at the lookout might help pass the time," suggested Wuz. Around noon that day, Toog, who was taking his turn at the lookout, saw something bulge above the horizon a mile or so ahead. Wanting to make sure it was land, he turned and casually waved for Wuz to join him. After locking the rudder in place, Wuz hobbled to Toog. "What's up?" he asked as he sat. "I think I've spotted land," whispered Toog. Wuz made a visor with his hands to block sunlight. "My old eyes can't see anything yet. Let's be sure before we let the others know," he suggested. "Okay," said Toog. During the silence that followed, Wuz noticed Toog fidget. "This sure has been an adventure," said the elder. Toog took a full breath before replying. "Since getting flung into the ocean, I've been worrying about what happens when we flub-dub," he shared. "I've also been worried about what happens after my life on Flub. Seeing myself humbly strive to be Flubster helps me worry less," noted Wuz. "I wish Flub-dub wasn't such a mystery," replied Toog. "I'm guessing it's a flubble place where we continue to discover how to be Flubster," said Wuz. "That we have a lot more to learn about kindness and fairness when we leave Flub makes sense," commented Toog. "By the way, Toog, I have a favor to ask you. Will you accept my walking stick when I flubbed up?" offered Wuz. "Sure," gladly said Toog. "I'm guessing you know why I'd like you to have it," said Wuz. "It's a flubble way for you and me to know we're not alone," replied Toog. Wuz smiled, then again shielded his eyes while looking ahead. "You can tell the others you've spotted land, Toog." Standing and turning, Toog announced what everyone wanted to hear. "Land ahead!" The others stood, looked forward, and hoped the expanding mound in the distance didn't disappear. "We've done it! We've found Bowfill!" rejoiced Dob. "I can't wait to meet my first Bowfster," announced Pun, while clapping. "The Bowfsters probably have a large storm-proof gep house they'll let us use when we make the return trip," guessed Seer, joining Dob and Pun near the rudder. While standing with Nam and Toog by the mast, Wuz saw that neither was excited by the sight of land. "Waiting to see how we'll be greeted before celebrating is probably a good idea," he told them. "We think we know something you know," said Nam. "Something that has to do with getting what we need In an unexpected way, added Toog.
What have you figured out?
Asked Wuz.
We've only made our way back to Floopsville and Flangville. Bouffville is make-believe, said Nam, sounding let down.
After a head-scratching moment of thought, Wuz offered a notion. Our search for a way to be helpful wasn't make-believe, he suggested.
But we didn't find a way to help, said Nam.
Wuz shrugged. I only know I choose to be Flubster, no matter where I live, he pledged.
I also choose to continue to be Flubster, vowed Toog. Me too. If only we could get the grown-ups to believe in niceness again, wished Nam.
What we can do is never let niceness be snuffed out on Planet Flub, said Wuz. Pun, meanwhile, spotted those on shore waving their hands.
They see us coming, she called out.
I bet their Topa is Flubble, whooped Dob, just before the foothills, river inlet, and gathering crowd began to look very familiar.
Seer loudly stated what everyone realized.
It's Floopsville and Flangville!
Put out, she turned to Wuz with a scowl.
You said we'd find Bouffville today. Today was supposed to be the day we learned how to help the grown-ups get back their honor.
Wuz spoke calmly. Actually, I said we'd find land, not Bouffville, Seer. And when it comes to honor, aren't all Flubsters free to decide to have it or not have it? He posed loud enough for all to hear. Wuz then turned to the others and made a request.
Please form a circle, clasp hands, and close eyes, everyone. I have something to say. I very much hope you'll repeat out loud.
After watching the children move into position, Wuz stood behind Nam and Toog, leaned on his cane, and spoke slowly so that all could easily repeat each of the following phrases. Though we believe our journey was noble, we know and accept. We've hurt others by taking it. In an effort to be Flubster, we shall humbly seek healing. As the children released hands and opened eyes, Wuz made another appeal. I don't know how they will receive us, but I do know how I would like us to receive them. Will you hold a flubbit with me as we dock? He requested.
We will,
answered Nam and Toog at the same time, soon followed by the other children. Not far from land, Wuz bowed his head. The children followed his lead, turning eyes upward to judge the greeting he and the children were about to receive. Wuz saw that everyone on shore also had chins pressed against chests. "Their flubbets are a hopeful sign," he told himself, while respectfully waiting for someone from the large gathering on shore to speak. Keeping her head lowered, Meeb stepped forward and spoke meekly as Ver tied a docking line to the mast of the Gephouse. "Because the storm turned back our rescue geppers, we feared the brave crew searching for Balfill experienced flubdub. Your safe return brings us joy beyond words." Wuz was also humble. "Please lift your heads," he asked as he lifted his own, "because we know our attempt to find Balfill has been hurtful. We ask for the chance to bring about healing." Wiping tears from eyes, Meeb's words continued to be heartfelt. "We ask the returning voyagers to look downriver." After Wuz and the children did as Meeb asked, Nam blissfully called out, "Double flubble! The wall on Flubbity Bridge is gone!" Meeb was ready with more good news. "Floopsters and Flanksters no longer exist. Because we again appreciate what is within each of us is within all of us, B. Flubster is once more the wise saying that guides us all. Though our misguided separation flub-up has left us unworthy, we ask for the chance to earn forgiveness." "No one is unworthy," assured Wuz, as he looked at those on shore. "All of us deserve the healing we are capable of bringing about." As Nam, Toog, and the other children raced to hug family and friends, every Flubster felt magnificent togetherness. Hearing a splash behind him, Wuz turned and saw the Ott that had led the rescue. "Thank you for being Ott," said Wuz as he dropped to one knee. The Ott thrust itself upward so that it could make better eye contact. "Ott, Ott, 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 Ott," it replied, happy to have been helpful. Millions of miles away, the child who loved to imagine Flub was a peaceful paradise was again gazing out her bedroom window. "If only helpful beings would arrive and teach the grown-ups how to stop their horrible hurtfulness," she desperately wished before the deafening bombs of a world at war shook her bedroom, causing her to drop to the floor and dart under her bed. The end.